All right, looks like I got extra time this morning. So, you guys ready till 2 o'clock? Some of you aren't so sure. All right, we'll be in Luke chapter number 14 as we continue our series and looking at some of the things Christ called his disciples to. And we've looked at some very pretty hard sayings, haven't we? And we've looked at them in the context of we've looked at the cultural context, we've looked at historical context, we've looked at many things when we put Jesus' words right back into the scriptures and exactly what he calls his disciples to do. They have, I tell you, as I've studied through these passages of scripture, I don't think I've ever had such a challenge in my own spiritual life as I study these scriptures. And sometimes as I study these truths, You ever had the Lord prod your heart and you say, Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, I just want to be comfortable. Lord, this is too radical. This is too extreme. Lord, I don't know if I want to obey this passage of scripture. And he continues to work in your heart. And when you submit to the Lord, isn't there peace that comes with that? We're going to look at another one of Jesus's demands to his disciples, and to give you a little disclaimer, this one might be one of the most difficult ones to swallow. You're saying, Pastor James, are you kidding me? This passage of scripture is a breaking point. And this, as I was studying for this passage, do you remember at missions conference what Brother Dwayne Early said in the morning? He said something that struck a chord with me, and it hasn't quite left. He said, if you are not growing and your church is not impacting its community, it's sin. Do you remember him saying that? When I heard him say that, I said, wow. I said, and I tried to excuse away, and I began to study for this passage, and this, that was kind of resonating with me. And we are going to look at a passage where our discipleship is directly tied to the impact that we have in our communities. Let's just dive into the word real quick. Let's just dive in. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse number 34. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, as we gather together around your word, Lord, we gather as a people that desire to hear from you. Lord, we do not desire to hear any opinions today. Lord, any preconceived agendas. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that myself would be counted as dead. And Lord, that your son that lives would go forth and share his word through the power of his spirit. And Lord, that we would glean truths from your word today. Lord, that would change us into the image of your son. And Lord, as we behold your word, Lord, let us be changed. Lord, allow your son to be glorified in this, his redeemed bride, his church, Lord. Lord, please meet with us. Lord, help us not to have another routine church service, Lord, where we go through the motions, but Lord, allow this to be a time where we meet with the living God. Father, I know my incapabilities this morning. Lord, help. Help in this time, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. It's an interesting passage. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its flavor, where will it be salted? What is the use of salt that is not salty? How many of you would put an ingredient on your meat that it didn't have any flavor? Well, that's salt, but it doesn't taste like salt. But you can, what would you say? Well, what's the point, right? It has no meaning. It has no flavor. There's no use for this salt. It doesn't have any use. I'm not going to use it. Jesus, directly speaking as those to his disciples, says, salt is good. That's the first word, first phrase we're going to look at. Salt is good. Would you agree? Who likes salt? Some of you with heart problems. All right. You like salt way too much. But would you agree salt is good? Salt has a purpose, does it not? Salt has a purpose. It has a goal. It is used for a reason. And as Jesus is talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, he says this phrase, you are the salt of the... So Jesus' disciples are called to a specific purpose, are they not? Would you agree with that? We have a purpose in this world. As called out, as a redeemed bride, as those that have been saved by the grace of God, Jesus doesn't save us to sit in a comfortable church building. Would you agree? Jesus calls us for a purpose, for a reason, and it is to impact the community that we have been planted in. Would you agree? We are to be disciples in this world. And in the front of your bulletin says, as he was in this world, so shall we be. So as Jesus says, ye are the salt of the world. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? Christians, you ever met someone that they'll say, they'll give a compliment on someone, they'll say, well, that person is just the salt of the earth. They stand in a stark contradiction. They stand apart from the rest of the world. They're differentiated. They said, they are the salt of the earth. There is something that is different. They love. They give their lives for a purpose. They are just the salt of the earth. They're sweet. They're kind. They're loving. They're the salt of the earth. You know what I mean by that? But Jesus goes on to say, he calls us to be salt, but he says, but if salt has lost its savor, I mean its flavor, what use is it? Now, what about Chris? Is Jesus saying it is possible for Christians who were once salt of the earth, light, salt and light in their communities, a church that impacted its community at one time, to lose its effectiveness in its community? It says, if the salt has lost its saltiness, it's lost its flavor, what good is it? He says, and he goes on to say even more harsher words. I love how Jesus preaches. He's just straightforward. He's honest. He said, if the disciples, the salt of the earth has lost its savor, it is not even worth being put on a dunghill. Do I need to elaborate what a dunghill is? I think we all can understand what a dunghill is, right? He said, it's not even worth being put on a dunghill. It says it's just, you might as well just take it and cast it off because it is useless. It has lost its purpose. If the salt has lost its flavor, it's lost its saltiness, it no longer has any effectiveness and it is to be cast aside. I believe with all my heart, that is why American Christianity across this country is not seeing the power of God in our churches like we have read about in great revivals. And that's the reason we are not seeing people converted. That is the reason we're not seeing the baptismal water stirred. Because as a church, as the salt of the world, we have lost our flavor. Can I say it like this? We have lost our impact in our communities. Now, are all churches like that? And he says this. He ties this salt with reaching the community, with causing a slowing down of corruption. And now, as a church, we must decide. Our discipleship, you know, one of the tests of our discipleship and if we're really following Jesus and if we're really pursuing him, you know what one of the main tests are?
How are you impacting your community? Christianity is not sitting in this building. This here is to equip you, to encourage you, to stir your heart, to get out there and reach the community with the gospel. That's what church is for. It's to equip the saints for ministry. It is for you to encourage your heart to get out there and be the light and the salt of the earth. So the test of our discipleship, of our following of Jesus, is going to be the test of how are we impacting our community, if we are. Are we? Now, understand this. I ask myself this question. I want to be completely transparent. It's easy to get up here and preach at you guys, okay? It is. It's easy to point the finger at you guys are all the problem. I don't take it like that. The Spirit of God, when I was studying for this passage, he says, James, outside of preaching, what impact do you personally, James, have in anyone's life outside of these church doors? James, are you salt and light in the community? That's a tough question. And I ask myself, and let me be honest, I'm not. It is easier to come here and play the role of pastor, preacher, and act like you're spiritual without ever going outside these doors and actually living it. And that's me. So I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I want to be the salt of the earth. I want my life. I want it to be salty. I want it to impact this community with the gospel. I want you to use my life. I want to be your follower, and my life isn't. And I confessed it as sin before God. But I want my life to be used, do you? I want to see this church grow to a point where this community, they say that this church is the salt and light of the earth. These people are different, they're separated, they love us, they reach out to us, they care for us, even if it costs them their own lives. This church, we need to restore our flavor. Now, how do we do that? That's the difficult part. I wrote down three things. Let's get some context here. Let's look at some of the things he said before this. You think the salt passage was difficult? Wait till we read some of the things that Jesus said. Let's look in verse number 26. Now, I'm not claiming to have perfect understanding of this passage. I don't. This passage here has troubled me and has, I have scoured over it and read many commentators. Everyone has a different view of this. Now, we have to ask ourselves. Now, let me ask yourself. Answer this before we read this. Do you believe this book and everything in it? Do you believe this is God's word and everything in it is true? Do you believe Jesus meant what he said? Okay, now remember that you agreed with me after we read this. Look at this. Let's look in verse number 25. Let's look how Jesus approached the masses. This doesn't fit with church growth methods in our modern day. Look at this. And there were great multitudes with him. Look what Jesus, and he turned to the multitudes. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? We have a great program at our church, and you should come. And we got, you know, we got slip and slides, and we got all this cool stuff at our church, and you just come and hang out. No, that's not what Jesus did. He would blow the minds of all these church growth gurus, guys. He didn't care. He spoke truth even to the multitudes. And I can imagine his disciples. Jesus, I mean, don't you want a following? I mean, Jesus, you're what are you doing? What are you saying? What are you preaching this message, Jesus? The people aren't going to listen to this message, Jesus. You're going to scare them away. Look what he said. Verse number 26. If any man come to me and hate not his what?
and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my... What? Yeah, this... Jesus. Jesus, there's a multitude, get this picture with me. There's a multitude of people that are seeking truth, okay? They're seeking Jesus, they're seeking eternal life. They've heard of the miracles and the wonders and his claims to be Messiah. And you would think, what is he going to do? He is going to bring them to the very narrow path. We looked at that several weeks ago. Jesus doesn't give them the message of easy believism or just come follow me and I'll do wonderful miracles, I'll bless your life. No! He said to the multitude, if you are going to follow me, if you are going to be my disciple, you must hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, and your own kids. What? Now, it's hard for us to understand that in our Western mindset. This was even more shocking to a Jewish mindset. They lived in a mindset where they lived in insulas, they called them, and their family was their livelihood. They would just add on additions to their father's house, and their father was this patriarch over all of his sons and the wives, and they would work in the same line of work and live in the same house and go to the same center. They did everything together. They would share their money. They called it the one purse mindset. They would share their money and their wealth, and they would just grow, and they lived in a patriarchal umbrella type of household. That was how Jewish culture was. So when he says this to a Jewish person, you must hate your father and mother, brother and sister, yea, even your own wife and children. Do you know what kind of a shock factor that played in someone's life? See, we're, as Americans, we're very independent, aren't we? But you know what Jesus is calling them to? He addresses the most close relationship to them. And he says, if you want to follow me, it will cost you your entire family. It will look like hate. The moment you make a decision to follow me, and he addressing this multitude, the moment you do that, do not be surprised if your family will come and they'll say to you, do you hate me? Do you not love me? He is calling them to break the closest relationships that will hinder them from following after him. A Jewish man would hear this, and he would understand that if he had to decide to follow Jesus, it would be a complete breaking off from even his closest relationships. Now, if we are going to restore our effectiveness in our community, us as believers, do you know what we must have? We must have a revived relationship with Christ. I think for too long, the American church has been asleep. And we have been rocked to sleep by riches and by comforts and by relationships and prosperity. And we have been lulled to sleep while the world has gone into corruption and degradation. And we have not been the salt. And yet we want to point the finger at politicians. And it's not the politicians' fault the reason the country is. It is because the preachers of the gospel refuse to preach truth. And the churches have been lulled to sleep by comforts and prosperity. If the church came back and became the salt of this world, we would see a cease in the corruption in our communities. The gospel still has the power to change an entire community. Do you believe that? Why are we not seeing a revival in our relationships with Christ? If we are going to restore our impact to our community, if we're going to reach them, us, as individuals, must look at our relationship with Christ. He is calling them to come away from their closest relationship and come into a special relationship with Christ. Now, listen to me. Let's be specific. Your relationship with Christ, what does it entail? Your heart. In your heart, is there a passion to seek after Christ?
Does this passion drive you to the scriptures to know him? To follow him at no matter what the cost. Look at this. Turn with me. Just flip back a couple pages. Jesus is going to illustrate this a couple chapters back. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 61. Let's look at an example Jesus uses. There's three men that come to Jesus at this time. And they all are well-meaning. But look how Jesus addresses these people that are willing to come and follow him. Look what he says in verse number 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me, what's that word? Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home and at my house. And look how Jesus responded to him. He said, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This guy, imagine, he's a reasonable guy, isn't he? Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I'm making a decision to follow you, but Jesus, let me first go back to my family and my insult, and let me just tell him bye. You would think, all right, yeah, go tell him. Jesus didn't do that, did he? He said, a man that is looking back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. See, this man was a double-minded man. He knew that he should follow Christ, and he knew he should have a relationship, and he should pursue Jesus. But he had a mentality that he was first in this relationship, and he still wanted to do what he did. He said, Jesus, I will follow you when I finish this, when I take care of this task, when I do what I want to do. And there's a lot of Christians that sit in this room today that have put their relationship with Jesus on a back burner because they live with the mentality, it's a me-first mentality. Whether it be hobbies, sports, family, jobs, careers, whatever it is, they put themselves first and they say, Jesus, when I do this, then I'll come follow you. They're always looking back. We want to reach our community. It must come from an individual, revived relationship with people in this room. Whether your relationship with Christ has grown cold, whether it has grown stagnant, whatever it has come to, we must have a revived relationship with Christ. Would you agree? We must get serious about our pursuit of Christ. Now look at, let's read in the second thing I want you to know. We must have a revived relationship. Secondly, we must have a renewed purpose. Look at this. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. What does that say? Why does he use such strong language to these multitudes? You ever thought about that? What do you mean, hate my family? What do you mean, bear my cross? What do you mean, I can't be your disciple if I don't do that? Does Jesus mean what he's saying? Yeah. Not too many people like this message, do they? Look at this verse. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Look at verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Now, what does Jesus illustrate following him? Is he saying this is just some random faith that you just kind of say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus? No. He illustrates it with a man. He uses an accounting term. He says, you must count. You must figure out this. This following Jesus and coming to follow him, it's going to cost you your life, your family, your livelihood. It's going to cost you these things. He says, before you make this decision to follow me, you better sit down and count the cost and realize the repercussions of what this is going to cost you in your life. He says, following me is a cross. It's a death piece. It's a losing of your life and your dreams. That's what he's calling them to. And he says, before you make this decision, you better sit down and count the cost. I ask myself this. At what cost am I willing to lose my life in order to see God do a great work in this community? Ask yourself that. Let's ask ourselves that as a church. What cost are we willing to lose our lives as a church to see the power of God manifested in this church, that we have an impact? We are a light. We are salt to this community. Are you willing to lose your life? Listen, it's going to take us, when we have a revived relationship, to have a renewed purpose. Is this purpose of reaching our communities of the church, is that an old thing? Or have we kind of known that's kind of why we're here? So it's not that we have forgotten about it, it's just we have grown to a point where we don't care. Now, if we cared, we'd do something, would we not? If we were really burdened that there were people that died in this community and entered the lake of fire which burneth, and the smoke of their burning is in the air continually, if hell is a reality as it is in Scripture, how can the church remain in its state that it is in today? We must see that we have been called out to share the glorious gospel of Christ with our community. And each one of you are going to do it in a different way. But he has called you to reach your community, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's the guy down the street. That is what we are here for. If you follow Christ, I promise you, out of the outflowing, the living waters will naturally flow, and you will be in a refreshing. Your life will be salt. It will be light. It's not like we have to put on this super spiritual mask. No, we follow Jesus, and Jesus is the joy of our heart. It will be a natural outflowing from our lives. People will come to the living water and drink, and it will be refreshing. They will see light amidst the darkness. They will see salt, and they will taste salt. They will see something different because we are a body that follows Christ. We must have a renewed purpose, must have a renewed vision to reach our communities. We must. And you say, well, Pastor James, I can't get around like I can. I can't. See, we have the law. We got to get rid of the mentality that I got to do something. No. You don't have to do anything. Galatians 2:20. Can you even quote it? For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But he says this. Yet not I, but who lives within him? But Christ lives within me, and the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who has saved me. Do you understand what this is? Christianity is not about this taskmaster slave, this preacher that gets up here and says, you got to work, got to do this. No. Stop doing all this noise. Get on your face before God and beg him to have a renewed relationship and confess your faults before him and say, God, I'm so sick and tired of religion. I want to follow you. I want to see you do great things in my life. Here is my life. Here is my heart. You can do that at whatever age you're at. And I promise you, if you're an older person and you have a passion to follow Christ and see him live his life through you, you will have an impact on your community. It's not about how much we can do. It's not about the lights, the camera, the action, the programs. No, it's about people that follow Jesus. If he be lifted up, he will draw some men unto him. All men. I know some of you theologians don't like that. It's all right. But if he is lifted up, the Bible says he will draw all men unto himself. Did I say that or did the Bible? Okay. Now, let's take the principle. If we exalt Christ in our lives, will he draw men to salvation? That's just a natural. Is it going to be you doing all this work? No. But we will not have an impact on our community if we're not followers of Jesus. Now, if we have a revived relationship with individuals in here, if you say, Pastor James, I want to have a revived relationship with Jesus, I'm willing to abandon it all for him to follow him, and you understand you have a renewed purpose, Pastor James, I want to see my community reached. I want to be the salt and light. Third thing, do you think we'll have a restored church? I don't know how many times I've heard genuine saints say this. Pastor James, I want to see, you know, we used to run a couple hundred, Pastor James. We used to see people saved all the time, Pastor James. Pastor James, we were baptizing people all the time. Yeah. Those are the good days, right? Do you know what drove those days? Do you know what it was? It was people that together had one mind that they were going to follow Jesus. They had the same purpose in mind that they were going to impact their communities. You know what you'll see? You'll see a growing, vibrant, salt and light church that will be a beacon for the gospel in this community. But it starts with you. We can no longer point the fingers at the guy across the church and say, well, when he starts, I'll start. No. We must come to this place in our life where we have to say, am I useless? Am I a useless Christian for Christ? Have I lost my flavor? Am I not salty anymore? And if you come to that acknowledgement, you admit it before Christ, as I have this week, I admitted this before Christ, my life has very little impact outside these doors. And that's wrong. I want it to change. And I specifically prayed these three things. I said, Lord, I want my relationship with you to be on fire. I want it to be revived. I want it to be full of life. I want to know you. I'm going to seek you. But Lord, give me a passion for lost people in my community. Give me a love. Give me a burden. You know what you'll have? You'll have a church that is salt and light in this community. Would you agree? I'll close with this. I ask myself this. And this is hard. I understand this. If we are not reaching our communities, what are we doing? If we are not impacting our communities, what are we doing? I ask myself those questions. I'm wasting time. The Bible talks about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You know, much of my time is wasted in leisure activity. Me. I like sports. You know how much time I waste looking at sports? Stats, statistics, numbers, scores. So much of my time was wasted on frivolous things. My life has just, I just sit here and I waste. Yeah, I can study for sermons. Yeah, I can get up here and preach a message, but that doesn't matter. That means nothing. My life, I want to impact the community. What about us? What about you? Your life. What are we doing? No longer am I going to sit on the sidelines and allow my life to be empty and void. I want my life to be salty. I want it to be seasoned with salt. I want it to be light. I want my life to be used. And if my life is used by the Creator, does that give meaning and purpose to my life? Every one of us is called to a different thing, a different purpose, a different reason. I can't tell you what that is, but you must figure out why God has brought you here to this church, why God has brought you to this community, and what does he want to do with what you have to reach this community. And we must gather together with a passion to see it through. But if the salt has lost its savor, can he use it? Can he use it? He can't. He won't. It's not that he can't. He won't. I'm going to challenge you this. Let's seek Christ again, simply. Let's get on our face as Christians. I'm not saying we have to do it here. You, me, let's revive our relationship with Christ. Let's break these old chains of routines and religion, and let's throw these away, and let's have a vibrant love and passion to seek Christ and say, God, here is my life. You do with what you will. I want your power evident. I want my life to be on the altar of sacrifice. Here it is. Do what you want with it. And I promise you, if everyone in this room does that, our community will see it. They'll taste it. They'll know it. They'll hear about it. Christ will be exalted. People will be drawn into him. And you will see the manifestation of the power of God, because his called out bride have chosen to be his disciples and follow him and be the salt of the earth. Do you agree? Anyone else want it except me? I want to see him do such a mighty work. Don't you? I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we have gathered together, Lord, we have heard the things you have called us to, Lord. Lord, I don't want my life to be ineffective anymore. Lord, I am so tired of standing by and being content with not seeing your power evident. Lord, I pray for us as a body here, Lord, that we would come to a point in our lives where our relationship with you is preeminent. And Lord, that you would give us a clear vision, a renewed purpose, Lord, to see your power manifested in our communities, Lord. Lord, help us to be a restored church that brings forth your glory. Lord, I pray that you would take this seed and you'd plant it deep within our hearts, and that it would grow and produce fruit. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.